Hey there, guys and gals, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is the Diesel Punk Podcast, the voice of Diesel Punk, and I am your host, the king of swing, the tower of power, Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny. We are coming to you live from Imaginarium at Louisville, Kentucky. And if you heard that, you heard some of the guests here in the concourse where we're recording the podcast. I've got the wise guys with me. We've got Greg Jones and Blake Wilson. Now, just a little inside baseball. This is the third take on that introduction for them because for some reason, I want to introduce Greg Jones as Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. I have no idea why. He doesn't look like a Beach Boy. He doesn't sing like a Beach Boy. But every time I go to introduce him, it comes out Brian Wilson. I don't know why. But Greg Jones is well-known in the Nashville cosplay community as one of the Satters. And he's also a steampunk cosplayer. And when he's hanging with me, he's one of the dieselpunk wise guys. Who's your steampunk character, Greg?
My steampunk character is actually Dr. Edward Dirigible. His family created the Dirigibles in the book that my wife is going to be writing, The Chronicles of Earth.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. And also with me is my right-hand man, literally today on my right hand, Blake Wilson. Blake, he travels up and down with me, goes to these cons, helps me out at the booth, and helps book some of the appearances. And he's actually a relatively new convert to the diesel punk genre. And Blake, you are actually working on a book for us to publish called Spirits and Stories, is that it?
Spirits and Stories. Everyone likes a good drink. Johnny, not so much, but the rest of us. We enjoy a good drink, but we also enjoy a good story to go along with it. So what better than a diesel punk little get-together of those two things? A story about your favorite drink. We're going to try about 25 cocktails, 25 stories. It won't be too much, about a page of story. And it's just going to help you settle down with your beverage and enjoy your day.
Kind of a small, almost like a coffee table book. Well, and you're doing a cookbook, too. Is that right?
I am trying my hand at a cookbook, yes. I've wrote the preface for Now You're Cooking with Diesel Power. Look for it soon. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And the preface is, I am a new convert. I actually enjoy what is called source material for you guys. And I'm slowly but surely converting to the new stuff. I love The Rocketeer and different movies of the such. But my heart lies in the Dick Tracy comics and the radio shows and things like that. So it's been real fun converting my love for the past with now the love of the alternative past.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty amazing. And the cookbook's going to be not just K-rations or anything like that. It's going to be the food that the diesel punk, you know, it's just going to be the food that when you come home from the war, all the sweet and the savory and, you know, the shepherd's pies and the cherries jubilee and the chip beef and corned hash and things like that Ooh. We loved here in, you know, mostly America.
Chip beef. Did your mom make chip beef, Greg?
Yeah, actually, she did. That was the dried
dry toast.
Roast beef.
Yeah,
with the brown grape. Of course, we called it what SOS, but yeah, it was very interesting. I haven't spent years.
See, my mom used to make it with not the brown gravy, but the white gravy, yes. The cream gravy,
yeah, and the pepper gravy. Yeah,
yeah, and we would have it over toast, exactly. White toast. And, you know, at the time, you know, I didn't realize that really it was more of a budget thing than anything because it's cheap to make.
Exactly. And that's another thing about this cookbook that's going to come up. Pretty much the whole cookbook you'll be able to make for probably $50, $60 for the entire cookbook. So that's pretty awesome.
Wow. Yeah, that is awesome. So, and look, if anything, Blake is about being cheap.
Hey, are you making fun of me again? I want to turn this microphone off right now and get a hold of you.
He is definitely a bargain hunter.
That I am.
Yeah, he's always given me tips where, you know, I can find things at a discount or half off or on clearance. And, I don't know how he has the time to go find that stuff.
I know, between being with you 40 hours at the job and now writing everything, I'm pretty much stuck.
Well, that's the wife, too, though, now. The wife does it, too. The wife is a theoretical, was it the...
Penny Pincher?
Oh, she's an investigator when it comes down. She can research anything on the internet.
Yeah, she'll coupon your coupons.
And then she'll find it. She'll keep looking. She'll find one thing for $60 on one site. She keeps looking. May take her an hour, but she can find it $25 on something else.
Yeah.
See, that's how good she is. So, yeah, it's all about saving the money, especially in our profession here.
Yeah. We don't talk about that a whole lot in the diesel punk genre, but I mean that is a major part of the culture of the diesel era. And so the diesel era, for those of you who are just joining us and don't know, we consider the diesel era the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and into the 50s, that time in America that is really bookended by the world wars and kind of a pin put in it with the start of the space race with the launch of Sputnik in 1957. But, that period between the world wars, you know, in the 20s, you had a little bit of the, more of the extravagant lifestyles. But really, that period in American history is a part, is one of the Great Depression and Prohibition and rations during wartime. And it's a time when Americans had to really learn how to make the most with the very least. And we don't really talk about that much, but Blake, just by you being that kind of frugal shopper and bargain hunter, you're actually maybe exemplifying the diesel punk lifestyle, the diesel era lifestyle, you know, far more than I do.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, in the day, even in the source material, everyone's like, yeah, coffee at home would be half a cent. Why should I go out and pay a nickel? So I make my own coffee, pay my half a cent, and enjoy the lifestyle every step of the way.
Well, see, that's interesting because, you know, our other co-hosts who aren't here with us, Eric Fisk and Larry Amiet and Daisy O'Dare, we are what we call lifestylers, Greg. Diesel punk lifestyles means that we wear a diesel style, diesel era fashion every day, whether it be, you know, like Eric Fisk wearing the fedora and safari type inspired gear, or Larry Amiet and I wearing suits and fedoras. But Blake, just by being a frugal bargain hunter, is being a lifestyler through that spirit. Through that spirit of commerce that existed during the diesel era. And, we would say that totally makes you a diesel punk because you're still utilizing modern technology and contemporary technology, but you're living a diesel era lifestyle.
Definitely, yeah. You know, you're going to pinch the penny as hard as you can till it screams, and that's what the wartime people had to do. You know, you made dinner and you fed it to your family the same meal three times in a week.
Oh, yeah.
Just because that's what you had in front of you. You know, your husband and your brothers and your uncles and everybody else are out at war, and now in this alternate reality, we don't know when you're coming home. That's the only part. You know, I'm really just baffled with some of the ideas that come out that we're going to hop in these mechs and we're going to hop in these, you know, big diesel-powered U-boats and everything, and we might not come home. But I'm willing to fight the good fight with you.
Yeah.
You know, I might trickle back home, make me a penny sandwich, but I'm going to fight the good fight with you.
Well, even with that, though, Blake and Donnie, even when you talk about cooking, I mean, you know, the wife and I, we kind of do the same thing in a roundabout way. You know, when I cook, I'll make a pretty big batch of something, keep it for 2 or 3 days, you know, especially when you don't have the time.
Hey, my new girlfriend Serena just walked by.
Woo.
How you doing, doll?
Good, how are you?
Doing great. Serena was part of the show last night.
It was a great show.
Good to see you, honey. Thanks for being a part of it. Hey, she's doing the Mad Max character. Cody. Yeah.
There you go. Cody.
We're actually in the middle of a podcast. You are being heard by millions.
Oh, now I'm part of your podcast.
Across, across not, well, 15,000. But, look, we got a great steampunk gentleman. Look at that brocade on that vest. That's pretty awesome.
Very nice.
This my character's half Scottish, half Chinese.
Nice.
Chinese steampunk is not something we see a lot of, but we should.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, excellent, excellent.
Whoa.
Is that something you hadn't thought of?
That's very too.
The Victorian era was more than grays and browns. There were a lot of silks and a lot of color in the Asian cultures.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the project I'm working on, it's a purveyor of silk along the High Silk Road between China and Vienna.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, you're hearing some voices of some guests who are joining us around the table here as we're recording the Diesel Punk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, live from Imaginarium. And since you guys are here, you know, we can always give our impressions and, you know, talk about what we like at Imaginarium. But why don't you guys tell our listeners what you guys like about Imaginarium and why maybe they should think about attending in the future?
Well, for one thing, everyone here is really serious about books and writing. You've got editors, you've got publishers, you've got writers. Even the wannabes are really serious about it. They spent years working on it. So you go to the panels, you get information that you'd get at a creative writing class. You bump into people that are like the heads of the, you know, their form. You have ex-CIFWA heads and ex-HWI heads here. So it's a great place to network.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the money shot.
Serena, from your perspective?
Yeah, it's been great. I am here with my, I have a table for my publishing company, World Weaver Press, and we're meeting new people, giving out submission guidelines for our anthologies and selling some books, and it's been a great chance to meet new people. The show last night really was a lot of fun.
Absolutely excellent. And you represent one of my favorite authors of all time. Sarah.
Oh, Sarah Dobie Bauer.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite authors, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You can get bitten.
Yeah. And, you know, we actually have a Diesel Punk thing coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we haven't announced it yet. But next year we're going to be doing a Diesel Punk Fairy Tales anthology.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm.
It hasn't officially been announced, but we're going to be announcing it pretty soon.
Well, you know, we do reach about 12 to 15,000 downloads per week.
Yeah.
So, feel free to send those authors our way, because we are always looking for guests. Wink, wink, hint, hint. So if you're willing to come back on and... Oh, hey, look. Are we on Facebook?
We're on Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
A little
awesome.
Bit late on the show, but hey.
Thanks for joining us, Facebook Live. We're on... we're doing the Diesel Punk podcast live from... I keep wanting to say...
Don't say the word.
Imaginarium.
2017.
Imaginarium. Yeah, I work with another con, and I'm on staff with them, so that's like on the tip of my tongue all the time. Very cool. Camp Arcanum.
Yes, it's a comedy about sex, magic, and power tools.
Sex, magic, and power tools.
Yes.
That's.
I want to party with you, brother.
I know. You got a party coming up tonight after the con shuts down? Let me know.
The third book in the trilogy is finally going to come out. I'm going to have a nice party. I'm just not sure where. Maybe at my store in Columbus, and maybe at a convention.
Columbus, Ohio?
Columbus, Ohio. My wife and I own the Alley Vintage and Costume, and it's a steampunk and vintage clothing store.
Oh, you know what? I think there's a road trip in our future. I'm actually originally from Akron, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Well, North Canton, but nobody knows what North Canton is. They know Akron.
The capital of West Virginia for a long time.
Yeah. Well, thanks for stopping by, guys, and chatting with our listeners. We'll talk to you guys later. So, yeah, that's some feedback from, some guests, from the literary perspective. You know, there's the business networking portion, but from a community perspective, there's a community here, and Blake, that's something that we talk about with Hypericon, which we both are on staff with, and you know, there's really a community that can be built around these smaller local and semi, like, kind of regional cons, you know, building a whole community. And that's really one of the best reasons to come be a part of cons.
Exactly. I kind of use the euphemism of the TV show Cheers. The song says, "Where everybody knows your name."
Yeah. Oh,
I go into Hypericon and everyone's like, "Hey, it's Blake. You know, what are you doing today? You know, what are you getting into?" And we'll go to all the events, the game days, the, you know, way late play dates, and everyone just knows everyone. And that's a very comforting feeling, especially in conventions. Sometimes we call them what's called relaxicons. And relaxicons are the most comfortable things you can get yourself into for a weekend, in all honesty. It's one of those things where you don't have to worry about impressing someone with a $15,000 costume or even showing up with, you know, your top of the nines, you know, clothing. You can come in a t-shirt. You know, we're all in just basic clothes here tonight, and we're just hanging out with everyone, you know, shooting the breeze and having a great time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, Greg, you and Crystal, you know, are well known in the Nashville con community. Why do you go to the conventions?
You know, at first it was became just a hobby. To believe it or not, it's like there's a point of, in a way, of getting to relive your youth to some degree.
Okay.
I mean, it's it, but we do it now because it's a getaway for us. I mean, it's a break from reality.
Yeah.
Oh, let's be honest. My wife and I, we work 45, 50, 60 hours a week. Stressful life. We have to get away. We have to do something that we enjoy.
And take a weekend.
And as of lately, especially between the different characters that we have, we do it for a lot of it for the kids. Being with, you know, Cosplay Collective. We going to the hospitals and enjoying that. What's really making the kids smile. But, yeah, it's all about being creative and being able to release your creativity, especially for my wife. I see the end result. She brings it all together, and it's amazing. She really does a good job of it, and she has brought a lot of our characters. Matter of fact, Johnny, you know, with that being said, even like with getting into it, a convert into the diesel.
Yeah,
we were started out with steampunk. We've started converting over. As a matter of fact, even with our one of our other characters, Jimmy the Butcher.
Yeah,
where she was the babe. Now she's created a different persona, which is now Jimmy the Butcher is the bad guy. She's going with...
Is she Jimmy?
No, I'm still Jimmy.
Okay.
But she's going to become the Scarlet Shadow, which is like an anti-hero, Jimmy's nemesis. And that's just another thought of a book that she's wanting to write in the diesel punk era. But she was going to get with you. Maybe you see about doing a crossover, bringing them
a little sleuthing on behalf of Johnny.
Well, there is an opportunity for that to happen, absolutely. And right now, my publisher is looking for additional stories in the BDC universe for a new anthology.
Yes.
So yeah, we'll definitely need to talk to Crystal and look at doing that. But one of the things that I've noticed at this con, and this really encourages me, of course, my passion is diesel punk, and that's why we do a diesel punk podcast. There's obviously still a lot of urban fantasy here, a lot of steampunk still, but I have seen quite a few diesel punk projects specifically, and I don't know that they're actually calling them that. I would like for authors to start using that term, but I'm seeing a lot of the genre fiction in the diesel era here at Imaginarium. And you just brought me three brochures from the dealer floor.
Definitely. They're calling them Prohibition Era right now, which is a real easy way to just say diesel punk, but diesel punk sounds so much cooler.
Yeah. You know, it does.
It has that feel to it. It really does.
I you know, we talked about this at Dragon Con on a panel that I think that maybe mainstream media is afraid of the diesel punk label. Because of the punk word, they don't know what it means or how to market it. But for me, it's It's all about the celebration of the countercultural aspect of the genre. You know, whether that be like me pushing against casual culture of the national uniform, the t-shirt, cargo shorts, and flip-flops. Yeah, I'll wear a t-shirt like I am today, but I'm wearing it with my suit and a hat. But, you know, or whether that's the celebration of the anti-hero, rebelling against fascism and tyranny. You know, there's a lot of positive things about the word punk, and I'm afraid that mainstream Hollywood media still have not kind of caught on to that.
Well, we do have one organization that is world, if not universally renowned, that uses punk appropriately. Unfortunately, right now it's steampunk, but it's Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch from the WWE is known as like the steampunk goddess right now. She's one of those characters who they're embracing that. So I'm really hoping that maybe as her character develops, maybe her eras develop as well. Maybe she can become the diesel punk princess or something like that.
Well, yeah, you never can tell. You know, one of the things about that is I think one of the attractions of steampunk has been historically that it is so different and it's a little bit exotic, whereas the diesel era is relatively recent history in American history. We have people who are still living that lived during that era, and for the most part, mainstream fashion, especially men's fashion, has not changed that much since the era. Now, women's fashion has changed remarkably, but you still see people wearing vintage clothing, vintage dresses. We just saw a girl walk by who was wearing this great Donna Reed outfit. We've got another author right across from us who's wearing a great vintage hairdo. So, you know, you see that a lot more in real mainstream culture, and it's not as exotic. And so I think that's one thing that actually kind of hurts us as a genre growing as rapidly is the less exotic nature of it. Does that make sense?
No, it
exactly,
does.
Yeah.
No, it does, because it is. These folks, I mean,
it looks mundane.
Almost. It's the... not to use the Nazi style, but even Tales from the Flip Side. It is reality that still can bring people in. It's not exotic, but it's a sense of, well, that's our past. It's our history. It may be alternative, but you can wrap your mind around it.
It's based in reality.
Yeah. You can wrap, and you can actually go out there and see different vehicles that were made that are still sitting out there, that would even old buses that were like, wow, that's very futuristic. The World's Fair. What was the year? The World Fair.
Yeah.
Was very
in Chicago, 1934.
Yeah, 34. Was very steampunkish in a way, in fashion.
And diesel at that. I'll use like diesel punk as Cuba. Cuba never really excelled past the diesel era as far as vehicles and their cooking technologies and things like that.
Well, and that's one of the hallmarks, you know, and we'll kind of wrap it with this thought, but you know, I think the biggest difference between steampunk and diesel punk is that steampunk's real focus is on the technology. You know, if you imagine that technology stopped with the development of the steam engine, and everything kind of builds around that. In the diesel era, technology didn't stop; style stopped. The aesthetics stopped. And so the real focus of diesel punk is the style and aesthetics. Yes, it's named diesel after the, you know, diesel fuel because steampunk was already a thing and blah, 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 blah. We've had that discussion 900 million times. If I had named it, I would have picked deco punk because really that's more the focus is the style and aesthetic. But it's what stuck. And so... yeah, that's how I see the difference. And I'm going to talk about that here in about an hour. I'm going to do a panel on Diesel Punk 101. And for those of you who are watching on Facebook Live, you can check out that whole panel on my Facebook page at Big Daddy Cool on Facebook. And we'll be streaming that live. So that'll be epic. Well, guys, you guys have any last words before we sign off here?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. It's been a long time since I've been on a podcast, and thank you for having me, Johnny.
Excellent.
Yes, and for me,
First time around for everything. Hey, I just got my proverbial cherry busted on it. So, yeah, but I appreciate Johnny. Yeah, and this is, I look forward to being a part of the team and part of the Wise Guys in the future.
Excellent, excellent. Well, guys and gals, that is it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Until the next time, swing hard, swing often, and we'll catch you on the flip side.